read this? Okay. Takes up more time. I'm Holly. I'm an addict. Speaker's statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there are not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is this possibility that a group's inexperience in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope. Okay. Again, I'm Holly. I'm an addict. And all I got is my experience, strength, and hope, so I guess I'll do that one okay. And I do not want to be up here. I usually am not somebody who is real boisterous and doesn't speak a lot. If I had my way, our readings would be, you know, who's an addict? I am. Why are we here? Because we're not all there. How does it work? Really quite well. You know, that'd be it. Simple. So I sat down and I was reading More Will Be Revealed. And this one paragraph kept popping up, and it was, in recovery, we also strive for gratitude. We feel grateful for ongoing God consciousness. Whenever we are confronted with difficulties that we do not think we can handle, we ask God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You know, and that is definitely the story of my life since I've been in recovery. I've come to the conclusion that there's not a whole lot I can do myself. Everything for me is about my higher power and me. When I'm sharing at a meeting, when I'm sharing with a sponsee, when I'm going about my daily lives, when I'm raising my kids, I cannot do it alone. I found that out here. I used to, and I still fall into that. You know, I was raised, do it yourself, or else somebody else is going to fuck it up. If you want it done right, do it yourself. And I no longer believe that today. Sometimes I try that, but I know that the truth is that I can't do anything alone. With the topic More Will Be Revealed, that was one of my revelations, but staying clean is our first miracle. Staying clean for a day is the first miracle. But if we start working this program, if we dive into this program head first, if we start working those steps, if we start calling people, if we stop the isolation in the self-made prisons, there is an abundance of miracles out there. You know, and it's whatever is your higher power's will. The miracle that I got here in this program is that I gained myself, which I never had. I thought I had it when I took my first drink. That was my first drug. You know, I've never been a speaker. I've never been somebody who talks a lot. But when I first did that first drug, I was off to the races. I finally thought I felt comfortable with myself. It gave me the ability to do a lot of things. It gave me the ability to talk back to any authorities, it gave me the ability, you know, to do, basically gave me the end was it gave me the ability to do anything that I had to do to get another drug. Yeah, and I was basically brought up in 12-step programs because I had a brother that was 7 years older than me. He died of this addiction. But in my growing up, I had a lot of the 12 steps put into my life. I knew about the 12 steps. When I went down to Florida to go to college, my mother saved a letter. I was writing letters, send me some D's and keep it simple. You know, that's stuff that I learned just by growing up with the 12 steps. It wasn't until I applied those first three steps did I find out the miracles that can happen. When I first applied those first three steps, I was in California. My first husband was in another state. His company had sent him to a rehab. And I was pregnant with our second child, about 8 months pregnant, didn't have a job, and had nowhere else to turn. And that was the first time that I totally surrendered. After trying to figure out how I could hide an 8-month stomach to go get a job, to get some money, or trying to figure out how I could manipulate it, I totally surrendered that day. I knew my life was unmanageable. I got down on my knees and I just cried. And I remembered those first three steps. I remembered that I was powerless. That was the day that I came to believe that a higher power could restore me to sanity. And I turned my will and my life over. And those bills that I had been working on trying to figure out how to pay, I stuck them up on a top shelf. And I had a sense of peace the rest of the day. There was peace. I didn't worry about it anymore. The next day, our income tax check came in. I do believe it was a God thing. It could have come in a week before. It could have come in before he went into rehab. It could have come in a month later. It came in the next day, and I had peace throughout that time. I never had a problem with a higher power in my life. I can't say that I came from some kind of strict Catholic school. I believed in a higher power because I knew I didn't grow all those trees and didn't build that mountain. So, but that was the first day that I found out a higher power could work inside me, could restore me to sanity. And that was amazing, and that was the start of my journey. The truth of the matter is I came into these rooms, and I came in these rooms, and I still didn't quite believe, though, that I had a drug problem. I knew my life was unmanageable. I had stopped using. So all of a sudden, I was living a life that I didn't plan. Some drug addict planned it. You know, some drug addict been in control of it. So it was definitely just out of control then. I sat in these rooms for a year before I ever raised my hand and said, I'm Holly, I'm an addict. And the day that I did that, I swear, every mouth dropped. I was like, see, that's why I didn't do that before. But it was freeing because then I started working on that first step. And I started finding out that I had a problem. You know, I was lying to myself. I had been lying to myself all these years. When I stopped playing with it in my brain, because my brain wants me to be right. You know, that's its job. I'm going to be right. My brain thinks that. When I put it down on paper, I had to stop lying to myself. That's when the truth came out, when I wrote down that first step, and I was like, wow. You mean I did that, all that, due to drugs? You know, it was it was definitely more will be revealed. That was my first step. You know, I believe in this program. I know that when I sponsor people, and this is the way that I did it when I came in, was everything came from the heart. You know, there wasn't a 300-question pamphlet to answer. It was what was in my heart. It was sitting down, writing, until the truth came. And I still believe that today, because it has to come from inside. We cannot think our way into a better way of living. If we could do that, we would have learned everything they tried to teach us in school, because they told us drugs weren't good. They did, and we didn't listen. So for me, it's got to come from in here. It's got to come from the soul. That's when I remember it. That's when I believe it. That's when it changes me. That's when I find out, you know, that, God, I don't have all the answers, you know. Every single step has a spiritual awakening. Every step, as far as I can tell. As far as what I've seen and what I've felt. You know, I know when people say, well, how will you know when I'm finished with my first step? Or how will you know when I'm finished with that step? I'll know. There's an awakening of the spirit. You know, I don't know how I'll know. It's a higher power thing. That's all I can say. Just, you're not there yet. More will be revealed. Because I was there. I'm like, wait a minute. I understand I'm powerless over my addiction now. I understand my life's unmanageable. So now we go right on step two. Well, just because I got it up here doesn't mean I got it in here. I have to have it in my soul. This is how I work it. I work it from the heart. I work it from my soul. Now, I have sat down with the questionnaires and tried them, and being the addict that I am, I will say, I know the answer to that one. I'm going to get an A on there. That's the way I think. That's the way I do it. And so I've got to go, and I've just got to start writing. I read that basic text. This basic text is wonderful. It tells you how to work these steps. Everything you need is right in there. From step 1 to step 12, it tells you how to work them. And if you really look hard, it will also tell you what the spiritual awakening is. But usually you have to feel it before you can see it. I don't know, when they told me that I was going to lead the meeting, actually, they never told me. It came via my husband. I haven't figured that one out. But he came home and said, you're leading a meeting at 8:30 on Sunday. I said, cool. Everybody's sleeping or packing. I can do that. And then I said, it will be a more will be revealed. And I said, I can do that too. Because I have had so much in this program revealed to me. When I came in here, it wasn't till I laughed the first time after not using that I realized I had not laughed in years. I don't care if I was watching a funny movie, if somebody told a funny joke. I had not laughed in years. Today, I know how to laugh. Today, I know how to cry and get through it. You know, I've lost my brother to this disease while I've been here. I lost my first husband. My son had open-heart surgery at the age of 12. Before that, at age of 2, they told me that he was going to have it. I know how to cry, and I know I can get through it. And I don't think I ever... I know that people died before I stopped using and before I got into this program, but I don't... It never really fazed me. I know shit happened. Lots of shit happened. But it never really fazed me. Because I would just go use. Or I was already using. I didn't go use. I was already using when I heard it. There was just nothing there. Today, I can get through those things. I can feel. I remember at a meeting I haven't been to in a long time. I don't even know if it's there, but there was a plaque over the door that said, "Lord, help me, teach me how to laugh, but never let me forget that I've cried." And I believe that today. I went through a day where I had to text somebody. I said, "You know, today we laughed, we sang, we danced, we cried. You know, it was the day that we were going to a funeral. We did all of that in one day. That is amazing to me. That is something that I never thought I could ever do. To do it all in one day, that's called living life. Now I'm really... I wish I could have said, I wish I had a plan here. I wish I had gotten some notes, but my mind had been blank. I woke up this morning and said, my mind is still a blank. My sponsor said, well, just tell them it's 8:30 in the morning. I'm hoping more will be revealed. And I'm still waiting for that. the best message that I have here right now is that this program works. It can work in every situation of your life. Applying the 12 steps, you will find out not what's in your head, but what's in your heart. I learned to love myself in this program. I learned to be comfortable with myself. I learned that I can go into any situation, and I might not always win, but with my higher power, I will never lose. You know, and I can't. I am running out of things to say. You know, I always believed that if you speak over 5 minutes, you're justifying and it's bullshit. And that's how I share in meetings. If I speak over 3 to 5 minutes, I know that I'm justifying. And I already warned Harold I was a short speaker, so I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to you. I'm just...
My name's Eric. I'm still an addict. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Harold J. All right.
Excellent. You want me to read that?
Yes, sir.
Do I have to read that? Because I like to pass on that. I mean, every speaker, all three speakers ain't read it last night, you know. The NA speaker chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time, or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. I'm an addict, and my name is Harold. I'm here to share my experience from Hope Recovery on More Will Be Revealed. And before I do that, I want to do what I always do, and that's mention the fact that on January 2nd of 1990, my father died. As a result of him dying, I tend to reflect on different things he said to me in my lifetime. And one thing he said to me in my early cover, he said, Harold, you're blessed. If you feel as if you've gotten in touch or in tune with something, then your prayer should be to ask God to do for the next person what he's done for you. So before I attempt to share my experience, strength, and hope of recovery on More Will Be Revealed, I'd like to ask that y'all join with me in a moment of silent prayer to ask God to do for the next addict what he's done for us. Amen. You know, I want to thank Holly for the job that she did, and I want to thank this convention committee. I really don't know. I just call this the Ocean City Convention. I don't know what the letters stand for. Somebody want to help me out? See what?
Chesapeake and Potomac Regional Service.
Chesapeake, Potomac Regional. Yeah, I want to thank them for, you know, really asking me to come. It's funny because, you know, I'm going to mention the fact that, let me see, what's the day? The 9th?
Yes.
All right, that I got 19 years, I think, 7 months and 9 days clean. Now, I mention that as a matter of course because I think it's significant. I remember when I did a closing of the convention when I had like a couple of years clean, and I remember being in the meeting, the banquet the night before, and the speakers had like 6 years clean for the banquet, and this guy in the fellowship said to me, "Well, when are they gonna get some people with time, right?" So you know. We had to get people with time when people got time. So now people have time, and they you know, she got 18 years, I got 19 years, and we speaking on Sunday morning at a workshop. You know what I mean? So, you know, the fellowship got time. See what I'm saying? So that's why I mentioned that. I'm going to get around to this topic. More will be revealed. I wanted to... I looked at Ron H's old, you know, he got a beat up. Y'all know who Ron H is? Okay. I looked at his beat up basic text last night and wanted to see what he had marked in More Will Be Revealed. Basically, he got the same stuff marked on a couple of pages. I didn't mark up my whole one. So, before I quote some literature. Maybe I will read some literature. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't do a game plan either. but let me say this. Before I really try to expound on More Will Be Revealed, you're going to be on top of this time thing, right?
Yes, sir.
Before I really expound on that, right, then let me mention the fact that in order for you to get to More Will Be Revealed, you got to live in less being revealed. All right, see, everybody's still asleep. Let me try to help you with this, right? In order for you to have a more revealed realization, you got to have a less being revealed realization. Now, you know, like there's the existence that you had before you got clean, which was like zombie. You remember the zombie world. You remember that. You know, and you were suspected of being alive because, you know, people suspected you might be alive because you did stuff that living people did. You walk, you talk, you see what I'm saying? But in reality, under close examination, we found out you really wasn't living. You see what I'm saying? So what happened is you came into the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous in desperation. In desperation. You know, we say we was thrust together. In desperation, we showed up here not really knowing what we was going to find here. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, for instance, like, I came in Narcotics Anonymous, and, you know, I don't know about you, I did have a game plan then. Right? My game plan was to get clean and you know, get myself together, so I could go back out and make all the drug money that I spent. You know what I mean? So I said, I'm going to get in here. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to use this program. I'm going to get clean, get me a year, you know, sell drugs, you know what I'm saying, and get back. That was the game plan. But you know, like they used to say stuff, right? Like we have stuff, you know, somebody, there was an argument in the room last night. I ain't going to say who was in the room with me, but somebody said something about somebody using something that wasn't in a literature. But, you know, you got so much rehab stuff in Narcotics Anonymous mindsets, and even now appearing in Narcotics Anonymous literature, that, you know, you have to really have had a spiritual awakening to get in touch with the reality of what recovery is anyhow. You know, I'm trying to think about one of these rehab points that they make. You know, that's the thing. You know, you can't get this. You got to get this for yourself. You can't get this for your brother. You can't get this for your sister. Let me try to tell you something. When you come into this atmosphere, right, then what you like somebody on the beach. You ever been on the beach in the sand and didn't want to get wet? Right? If you on the beach, sooner or later, that wave will touch you. Something will wet you. If you stay out there long enough, something is nothing but somebody come by with some wet sand, and the wet sand, sooner or later, you mess around on the beach, you're going to get wet. And if you up in here, then sooner or later, something going to hit you. It ain't a look. We used to say this thing, it's like an orgy. You know what I mean? Like a convention is like an orgy. You say you know when it's over. She said, "What's an orgy?" It's like, you know, when it's over. You know, all you just know is somebody touched you. You don't necessarily know who touched you, but you've been touched. You see what I'm saying? And you know, in here, whether you realize or not, you have to get naked. Rather you know, like, see, you sitting here now and you don't know that you done stripped. No, you stripped because you had to let go of your identity to pay attention to what's being said right now. Not because I got so much to say, but there's something in this atmosphere that takes over in this consciousness that causes you to pay attention to what I'm saying, because that's what you came in. Did I say something about us seeking in desperation? Just for today, it talks about the gift of desperation. And one of the powerful things about the gift of desperation is it causes you to pay attention. It causes your ears to open and your eyes to see. You see what I'm saying? Because something in you is hungering for a change. So now, what's I talking about? More will be revealed. More will be revealed. Okay. So the thing is that you don't necessarily have to come into Narcotics Anonymous looking for the solution. That the way that I say, they say you can't do this for somebody else. Look at all these darn people that's coming, because I used to battle about this. People coming to meetings, getting their slip sign, and I say we can't force them to come and get it. But you know what happened? They come and they being forced to come in, and they come into this atmosphere and they change it, in spite of what their game plan is. So I'm trying to get to more will be revealed, but before I can get to more will be revealed, because I want to say right now that more will be revealed is something more on different days, but the more will be revealed, if you know, the way that I learned it and learned to teach it, that it's in the basic text, it's the last chapter of the first 10 books. Y'all see what I'm saying? And so you had to come through the steps and the traditions, and what can I do, and just for today, to get the more will be revealed. So you have to have some living the program stuff happening with you to get in touch with more will be revealed. More will be revealed is beyond, you know, when you first get clean. Anybody like just been clean less than a year, go and raise your hand. They don't get up that early, do they? Oh, okay. All right, so now. So here you are, and there's a great possibility that the biggest problem you have in life is your relationship. Because, see, when we first get clean, one of the biggest things, first the biggest problem is everybody. Right? You know, everybody is an addict and they don't know it. But I found out yesterday I was one, and now I want to convince the whole world that they got it, that they addicts. You see what I'm saying? So at, you know, after a day, a week, a month, or a year, according to how you grow, right? Then you take and you look at the fact that, you know, maybe you need to do some work on you. And then you decide work on you is you need to hook up with her. Yeah. You know what I mean? So now the biggest problem you got is a relationship. You know, and your most powerful sharing is when you talk about the struggle and the problem with your relationship, right? And of course, you know, you don't have, you just have all that glitter sharing when it ain't a problem in a relationship. It's like everything is great. I'm lovely. You don't like the pink cloud. Y'all heard about the pink cloud? So we doing a More Will Be Revealed. So I should let you know right now that more will be revealed after the pink cloud. Right? Matter of fact, the steps really kick in after the pink cloud. Because what happens is after the pink cloud, then reality starts to set in. You know, reality starts setting. And how do you deal with reality? Well, you can do what you used to do. You can apply fantasy. Yeah. Anybody ever do that? Alright. Or you can seek some reality. And this happening in reality occurs in the 12 steps. Now I'm going to give you encapsulated. Am I doing all right on the time?
You're doing fine.
Okay. I'm going to give you a quick encapsulated 12 steps so that, you know, I don't hold you up. Right? You might have somewhere to go or something. All right. So the 12 steps, they go like this. Like, pay attention because this is going to be fast. You ever see a magician? You have the magician, you got to watch him close. Pay attention. I'm getting ready to give you this. You ready? The 12 steps is to move some self-centeredness to God-centeredness. It's just one move. It takes 12 steps to get there. Yeah. Y'all with me? So now we move from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. And now we in the more will be revealed area. Now we in the area where life is more than a relationship. Life is now, you could get in touch with, I got it written down somewhere. My buddy Matthew in Philadelphia, I'm going to say this. Matthew shared that love is in the contract. Y'all like that?
Yeah.
See, that's what Matthew said. I'm okay. She helping.
I don't know Matthew.
That's all right. All right. So she said, I said love is in the contract. She said, teach me how. So I'm going to page 98, More Will Be Revealed. I'm going to start as new things are revealed, we feel renewed. We need to stay open-minded and willing to do. Y'all ready for the lovers in the contract? That one extra thing. Go to one extra meeting. That kind of helps me. Stay on the phone one extra minute. That might be helping somebody else. And help a newcomer stay clean one extra day. This extra effort is vital to our recovery. Now it goes on down in the next part, and it says here that often we face some type of crisis during our recovery, such as the death of a loved one, financial difficulties, or divorce. These are realities of life, and they don't go away just because we get clean. Some of us, even after years of recovery, found ourselves jobless, homeless, and penniless. We entertained the thought that staying clean was not paying off, and the old thinking stirred up self-pity, resentment, and anger. You know, listen. Here you done took the 12 steps. You in the process. You doing the different extra things, right? But you still are subject to be overwhelmed by stuff that will take you into a mindset that you get caught up in self-pity. You know, I remember I was like sharing everywhere, you know, and I felt like I was helping people. And you know what? Helping people, I want to try to bring this home to you. Helping people, it ain't about you. It ain't about you getting no medal for helping people. Right? It's, you know, somewhere it talks about selfless service. So what happened is you can be caught up, and in the back of your mind, you start feeling like, well, darn, they kind of, don't somebody owe me something? You know? But this is what I'm saying, that remember, love is in the contract. And love is about giving. And so every time you get an opportunity to help somebody, then you get a chance to show love, right? And you're going to reap what you sow. But if you get caught up in thinking that everybody owes you, then you're losing sight of how you're living and what the purpose of all this is about. I'm going to jump to this last page here, and more will be revealed. It says, we have found a way out, and we see it works for others. Each day more will be revealed. The fact that you found a way out, it becomes your responsibility to take this freedom to the next person, to let them know that they can be free and live how you, and then the quality of your life gets better. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This program, it talks about me being like an animal and not having really, you know, no love for nobody or nothing. But after I came around here and I stayed here for a little while and I got in this process, then I started feeling things. One of the first things that I felt was, you know, emotional pain. I was in a relationship, my girlfriend, I caught up with somebody else, and it wasn't funny at the time. Jesus Christ. No, it wasn't, right? I'm going to tell you because she laughed. Let me tell you how I felt. I felt like, remember the Superman movie where Superman gave up his powers? Right, and he ran to the guy in the bar, and the guy hit him, and he saw the blood for the first time. I felt like that. I felt like, darn, I'm bleeding. You know what I mean? I didn't know I could bleed. You know? So I needed to find that out. Now, you know what? Being able to feel pain, right, because we want, you know, if we had our way, I think when we get clean, we would like to experience the rest of our life without having pain. But what happened is part of you learning to accept life is accepting that you got to have pain, and pain gives you appreciation for other people, because now I know that I reap what I sow. So I'm less likely to hurt somebody because I don't want to be hurt. So that directs me, that challenges me, that takes me in the right direction. So now I don't do some things. I'm gonna say this, right? Now, this is not a Narcotics Anonymous statement, but I don't curse. Have you noticed? I don't curse. Now I'm gonna tell you why I don't curse. Right now, this is not to, you know, I mean, do whatever you want to do with it. Listen, I'm gonna tell you why I don't curse, because cursing to me is an act of violence, right? And so what I do is I do violence to you if I curse, and so I already done enough violence. I don't want to hurt anybody. You know, there's a word, there's a word, the B word, right? And I used to be an abuser of women. You see what I'm saying? I used to be all kind of type of abusers of women. Womanizer, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but before, how you doing? How you doing? Before I would hurt you, I would look at you, and I would think that B word. I said, this B. You see what I'm saying? So before I could do a violent action, I had to have that word to justify the violence. Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now I don't think that word, even though it seems like I might think it because I just said it. But I don't think it. When I say I don't think it to a place where it takes control and moves into action. So my actions are not based on me using having thoughts of profanity. If a certain curse word come to my mind and I'm by myself, I say, well, God forgive me. Because I learned this from Dot Talley. I don't know if anybody knows who Dot Talley is. But I learned that from her. Right? So, if you just came in, I'm sharing on More BBville. I'm trying to explain how love is in the contract. Because that's the most vital part of you coming into... See, if you haven't heard, it said, our message is hope and the promise of freedom. That any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Well, to stop using, losing the desire to use is powerful for me. Because now I'm free to kind of do what I want to do. But the beauty is that my new way of life, it ain't based on me doing what I want to do. My new way of life is based on me having a new relationship with God, different than the one that I used to have. See, I used to have God like a genie in a bottle. Like whenever I wanted something, then I would call God. Say, God, would you give me this? God, would you give me that? God, would you do this? God, would you do that? And our conversation was on, you know, it was just like my father. Every time I called my father, he would say, what do you want now? You know what I mean? That was my relationship. But as I grew from self-centeredness to God-centeredness, then I got to a place where I realized that, darn, I need to find out what God wants. You know what I found out? That when I do what God wants, I find myself not running in the brick walls, not busting my head. You see what I'm saying? Not getting all beat up. My mother died. My mother died a couple weeks ago. Her funeral is tomorrow. And I'm a mama's boy. You know, this is this part about accepting, like, even death and recovery. Like, I'm a mama's boy. Everybody knows. But because the relationship I got with God, what happened was that on a Saturday morning, my mother had a heart attack on a Friday. The following Saturday morning, after I had spent the whole week calling I'm in the prayer. And I call all the powerful, I learned how to manipulate and use it. You know what I mean? I know how to put something together. So I called all the powerful praying people I knew. I did. I called them all. And I enlisted their prayers. See what I'm saying? And Friday morning, my sister told me that my mother said that she was ready to die and go home and be with the Lord. And I'm saying, you know, part of me want to say, mama need to just shut up. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to hear that, right? She needs to just quit and stop, you know, because I got all the praying people on this. You see what I'm saying? But Saturday morning, I got up and I said to God, I said, God, listen, I release you of all my selfish prayers because I need to stop trying to keep my mother like in a box or in a bottle and let her have the freedom. And let her have what she needs now. And that day, they put in a transition. They moved her from intensive care to transitional unit. And the next morning at 7 o'clock, she had transition. You know? So, I'm saying to, I think, Roger, somebody, how that, where I'm going to stop?
15 minutes.
All right. Well, good. All right. So I'm saying to Roger how my mother, did I say I was the youngest of six? I'm going to say that now. I'm the youngest of six. That may be how I got to be a mama's boy. Right? So when I was young, just a kid, when my mother would cry, I would cry. And vice versa, except for when she was beating me, when I would cry, she would cry. Right? For some reason, she never cried while she was beating me. But what happened is, as life went on, then I was kind of like that. Like when mom would cry, I would cry. When mom would get upset, I would get upset. And different people, been saying to me, Harold, your mother passed. It's okay to cry. I appreciate your permission. But the thing, what happened is because I had, you know, I go to meetings. When I don't know about you, listen, I'm going to suggest, this is a suggestion. I suggest that if you going through a new experience, that you go to a meeting and share your new experience, because a lot of times you're not in touch with what you're feeling. You just in touch with the person, you know, that's something in you that just tell you stuff, and it ain't necessarily true. You ever talk to them? You know, that's, yeah. So when I get into this atmosphere of recovery, then I can share and get in touch with how I really feel. So I've been to some meetings and I've shared and talked about my mother dying and I haven't cried. And I'm saying to myself, self, why ain't you crying? And say, you know, you cry when mama cry and she ain't crying. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? That's a part of the spiritual awakening and spiritual realization that I got. That God blessed me with a magnified connection with my mother. I started kissing my mother from my first day clean. Every time I seen her, did all I could do for her whenever I could. And her, she going on, and that's what that was about. Now he said I got 15 minutes, so I got to give y'all some more reveal. So I got to go back in the book. It's something in here about listening. Right? I just got to say something about it, because the gift, it talks about the gift of listening, and often, oh, and, you know, yeah, well, it's okay, it's on time, I probably didn't, you know, she said it over 5 minutes, it was something, but the God used it, all right, this is wrong, that's why that's not working. It's the wrong page. All right, so I wanted to talk about listening, because this is what happened. Somewhere in your recovery, you get to a place where you got it. Well, you got something. Now try to hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the not, you know, I'm not talking about what people might think they might call coming to an end, because it says, the steps don't end here, it's a new beginning. But someplace, you get to a place where you got a realization, a consciousness of what this program is about, to the point where, as you filled up, where you just got to tell somebody. I'm not talking about the... Remember I was talking about when you first get clean, then you realize that everybody's an addict? No, I'm talking about where now you realize that you stopped using and lost the desire to use, right? And you experiencing a freedom that now you can sit down and talk to somebody and get them to see, really, if they want help, what's, you know, their life is or what their life ain't. And what recovery is. And you can invite them. They say you give them the ability to help another addict. That's what I'm talking about. The ability to help another addict when nobody else can. So now you get to start doing this in a whole lot of different ways. But I wanted to talk about the gift of listening, because at first what happened, you know, we can talk and we start talking because we got something to say, and send everybody hears us and they invite us to talk, and what happened, we be so caught up now in talking that we can't hear no more. No. Listen to what I'm saying. We be, every time we somewhere and somebody speaking, then we speak, it's two speakers. It's them and me. I'm sitting there, they trying to say something, and I'm saying what they ain't saying. Right? Well, I might know them and I say, well, he need to talk about so-and-so. He need to talk about that. You see what I'm saying? Or I'll be saying, well, yeah, but is that in the basic text? You see what I'm saying? So now, I'm not receiving what I need
Because let me try to tell you something. I still need to be fed. I don't care how much I talk. I still need to be fed. I was saying this. You know, I had this 5-minute thing, so I'm on. Oh, good. Because I'm about to close out. Listen to this. More will be revealed. It don't say more might be revealed. Y'all with me? It say that more will be revealed. And the most powerful part of the more being revealed is that if you haven't heard that there's going to be some storms, that a storm is going to come. So this time, you need to prepare for the storm. And when you're in a meeting, you ain't really there to critique the person. You're there to try to glean something from what they're saying so you can put it into your storehouse so that you can have something to weather the storm. So if you think that you got enough to weather the storm that's coming, then first of all, it's like you like the people in New Orleans. You didn't know what kind of storm was coming. That's the thing about storms. They don't come like the way you want them. You know how you order at a restaurant? Would you please give me, you know, this, that, and a little... No, it don't. That ain't how storms come. They come unexpected, and they will devastate you. You better have built a good, strong foundation. And the way you keep this foundation, you got to maintain it. And if you turn your ears off, you in trouble. Yeah. So I just say stick and stay in this fellowship. And if you didn't get what I was talking about today, don't worry about it. More will be revealed.